This is August 4th, 1958. Mr. Jean Gere and myself are down to Joe Giglo's Giegel home here at Fremont. Joe is 75 years old and he's lived in this country for the past 64 years. He knows the river probably as well as anybody in the vicinity, and we want to ask Joe a few questions and get the lowdown of what the river has been in the past and what we can expect in the future if we can promote this idea of building a dam on the Fremont River, or on the Wolf River. Joe, there has been some neglect in maintaining the Wolf River in the past few years. Is that right?
There's been some neglect in maintaining and doing anything on the Wolf River the last few years.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that, Joe?
Well, there isn't so much to tell, only that you don't make any improvements. If the snag pile accumulates, they sometimes come up and remove that, and that's about all.
If they do dredge the river, Joe, it don't do much good, does it?
No, it doesn't.
What does it do, fill in right away?
Well, it fills up with silt.
I see. Joe, outside the improvement, the marshes at the present time are in bad shape. Is that right?
They are.
What do you suggest about that? Would high water help it any?
Yes, it would.
That would create them spawning and nesting grounds.
Yes.
What about the pike spawning grounds, Joe?
They're less with low water. The area is smaller.
Years ago, was it better in those days?
Oh, yeah.
In what way?
Because there was more room for them.
I see.
More water on the marsh.
How about wild rice? Is there any wild rice now, Joe?
Some, but not so much.
If we have high water, will that bring the wild rice back?
I think it would to a certain degree.
In what way do you mean that?
Because your marshes would be moist all summer long and it would grow.
I see. We have with us tonight Mr. Gene Garrow. Gene is the owner of the Sportsman Bar in New London, and he has been very active in sports in the past years. He's been on the Alaska Game Commission. He's helped me write the laws, and we're going to have Gene ask Joe a few questions and talk with him, because I think Gene knows this river probably as well as anybody. And Gene, take over a little bit.
Well, Joe, I've been watching this thing from years ago when the bog went out at Poygan. At that time, we used to have a lot of fishing and lots of hunting, didn't we? The ducks used to blacken the sky. Am I right?
That's right.
Now, they used to also stop over along the Wolf on the way because the water was high, right?
Yeah.
When did the bog go out at Poygan?
The bog went out at Poygan, most of it about around 1912.
And the last of it went out when?
Well, it
in the 20s, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In the 20s.
All about that.
About that.
I can't see exactly.
At that time, it used to be hard to paddle across Poygan, directly across in any direction, wasn't it?
Well, you could paddle across the open water, but when you got into the rice beds, it was hard going.
It took you a long time to get across.
Yeah.
Well, since then, I've watched it, and I've been interested in this promotion of this dam on the Wolf River for the reason that, in my opinion, the fishing has declined year after year with the added number of boats on the river, with the lack of food because of the bog going out at Poygan. The ducks have ceased to stop over here in flight. If there are a few ducks on these waters, the water being so low that a few boats agitate them and they're gone. Is that right?
That's correct.
So consequently, they head for Horican Marsh, the only preserve around that's large enough to take care of them.
I think that's true.
Now, if, in our opinion, if we could get the dam, lock, fish ladder, whatever is required to satisfy all people involved in this thing, hold that water high, we would have what is is, in our opinion, the first or last good food in the state of Wisconsin. For the ducks going north, it would be the last good food, approximately.
It would be.
Coming south, it would be the first, with the exception of a small amount of feed around Shawna Lake.
That's right.
Now, how about years ago when the ducks used to fly? In your opinion, tell us as best you can some of the best hunting days that you had and the type of water you had compared to what there is now to hunt in the fall.
Well, we had our best hunting was when the water was fairly high.
And compared to the number of ducks today, how many ducks would you say there was then?
Oh, Lord, I wouldn't have any idea. We see thousands where you don't see one today.
Well, that's quite a comparison. And how about the fishing? Do you go along with me that the fish has declined since the food went out and the water has gone down?
I think it has. Either that has made it decline or the amount of fishermen have, one or the other.
Well, it must be that a combination of things, as long as the fish can't get back to spawn in on the spawning beds, try to spawn in a river, the motorboats agitating the spawn separate it, so you don't get the amount of fish coming to maturity or even to a spawning stage.
I think that's right, too.
Now, if we could get the water back in on the marshes, the fish would get back in there and spawn, we'd get a lot more fish out of the spawn, wouldn't we?
That's the natural place for them.
That's where they belong. Now, I don't know about catfish and the likes. It seems to me, however, that according to fishermen up and down the river, even the catfish has declined in number. They don't get as many as they used to years ago.
Well, that I think is right, too, and what there are a lot smaller.
This is Gordy Krieger, Secretary of the New London Boat Club.
This is August 4th, 1958. We're down to the Scoville brothers. One is Charlie, and the other is Dick. And Charlie is 69 years of age, and Dick is 73. These boys have lived on the... what river is this? This is the Waupaca River, and... they've lived here in this vicinity all their lives. They've watched the river. They watched the river from the early days. They watched it deteriorate. They saw the good of it and they saw the bad of it. They're 3/4 mile from the Wolf River. They have traveled in boats years ago, when transportation was only by boat and stagecoach. They grew up with this thing, and I think these boys really know the river. We have with us tonight Gene Garrow, who's the local owner of the Sportsman's Bar in New London. He founded the Yukon Fish and Game Association at Whitehorse, the Yukon Territory, in 1945. He helped rewrite the fish and game laws of the Yukon Territory. Gene has had a lot of experience in the Alaskan Territory. He's also lived at Fremont years ago, or not too many years ago. He saw the river himself, and I think Gene is capable of also telling the history of the river. And I'm going to turn this over to Gene, and he's going to interview and talk to the Scoville brothers, and I think we're going to find out some interesting things. Gene?
Charlie, you and Dick both worked for the Conservation Department. How many years?
Well, 23 years at the outside, maybe a little better.
And that was seasonal work, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, outside of my brother Dick worked 3 years, did he, for?
And that was during the days when he used to have the hatcheries around here, and you maintained this hatchery for them for quite a few years here at Waiwega, right?
The pike hatchery, yes.
Pike hatchery.
Yeah.
Now, you were telling us the other day when we came out here for the first visit that your dad came to this territory years ago, and at that time the Gill's Landing was a very active place. They used to do all the freighting from here to Wausau and places west and northwest from here.
By stage and team.
By stage and team.
Yeah.
Now, from the time that you fellows located here after you came back to this territory, having left it as... children, came back here. You've been here consecutively or consistently how many years about?
Well, We've been here over 60 years.
Over 60 years?
Yeah.
Can you tell us something about the what the conditions were at that time with regard to the marsh areas, the amount of water, the number of rats, the fishing as it was then compared to today, and the duck flights as they were then compared to today?
Well, the water, we used to have lots of water, and sometimes it would stay all season, right through, even fall, freeze up that way. The marshes would be covered even. And sometimes we could paddle right down from our home right across the marsh, the Gill's Landing Marsh, right down to Partridge Lake, and hunt ducks anywhere, and there was rat houses all over, everywhere. And we used to catch from 1,000 to 4,800 rats in one season here right on our own ground, and some that we leased. But now the water has been, everything is drying up, we don't get rain, and they draw this water off down at Menasha, Nina Menasha down there, for to keep it down so they won't flood these millionaires' homes and their, that is their boat houses and backyards, and that's spoiling our spawning grounds up here. This is a natural spawning ground for the Lake Winnebago and all these lakes down below, Poygan, Butamore, and all of those. The fish come up here in the spring when we have a little water, that is, we get a raise of water every spring about, and the fish, pike and walleyes and perch and pickerel, they all get out on the marsh all right and lay their eggs, but by the time the eggs are ready to hatch, this water being drawn down from February till we get our flood, it runs away so fast that by the time these eggs are ready to hatch, the marshes are all dry. That's killing our fishing in the Wolf River and the lakes too in time. And another thing, we were getting motor boats with hundreds, cruisers and everything, and they travel up here. That is after when the white bass come, they can't get out, the pike can't get out and on the marshes, and so they have to lay their eggs on the bars in the Wolf River. But these motor boats, these big cruisers and all those smaller boats, they go wide open, most of them, and they're washing the shores of the Wolf River in, and they're covering these eggs up that the fish do lay so they don't hatch, and they're spoiling the river because there's no water to speak of anywhere. It used to be 10, 12 feet of water in the channel.
Well, it'll be a continuing thing, won't it? That if these boat travel continues and the low water level remains, that the silt will come in that much faster. They'll wash the banks away, and they'll never be able to maintain a channel without constantly spending a lot of money to dredge it for year after year.
That's right.
If there was high water, the agitation would be confined to the deeper water, and as a result, there'd be a lot less silt. That's
sure. Right. If they would hold the water back, even down there at Nina Menasha, and keep our banks full in the Wolf River, we'd have ducks and rats and everything else. We've got plenty of feed here in our marshes, but this water being drawn off, it kills this feed, you know, dries it up and makes it poisonous. Our rats die off by the hundreds.
How many rats did you trap the last year that you trapped?
Last year we got, what was it? Oh, no, not last year. We got 56 or something like that, 57.
And you trapped approximately the same area that you always used to trap?
Well, not exactly, but we trapped as much as there was water on, see? We trapped where the water was, but most of our marshes now are dried up, so we can't trap.
So you trapped probably what
nothing
percent of the
trap
area that you could trap if there was water that would, normally a high water level, held a year round. What would the area be now that you trapped this last time you trapped compared to that area we were talking about with high water?
Yeah.
How many acres would it be compared to that?
Well, no, we did have around 600 acres, but we sold some of it, and so we've got probably 200 acres altogether now.
And all you trapped on that 200, and you say it took about 56 rats. Huh?
That's right. 59. To be correct.
Three rats. At the price of rats today,
85 cents. No.
But conceivably, if you had had high water on the property that you have to trap, what do you think the take would have been?
Well, I'll tell you. We spent $1,800 putting ditches in some land that we own. There's 180 acres of it. And the first or second year after we had those ditches dredged, my brother Dick and I went in there and we set our traps the first day that we could open them. And the next morning when we took the rats out, we had 103 rats out of the one big ditch. We didn't touch the smaller ditch. Now, the water is down so low that the rats won't go in there. There's nothing there. No, we can't even paddle and trap in them half the time.
But to begin with, you had to dredge this because the level has been maintained at such a low stage that years ago you wouldn't even thought that would ever be necessary to dredge.
That's right. We wouldn't even have to have a ditch down there if the water stayed up where it was. Well, the man that done the dredging for us, he had his dredge in there in the summertime, and he didn't get through in the fall, and he left the dredge down there, and the water came up that fall. And it come up to the top of his engine, and it was quite a high dredge, you know. And even the rats built a house on top of his motor.
Hmm.
And there was houses all around that dredge, everywhere.
Charlie, the other day you were talking about this dry weather, and you said something about the fountains drying up. Now, explain a little bit. They're drying now, is that right? And you're having trouble around here.
Why, sure. The water level's going down every year, a little bit more all the time, because they don't hold any water back here. It all runs away down the Wolf River and out down at Nina Menasha dams.
Well, actually, your water table's gone down.
Why, sure, the water table has gone down, too. But I think that this has a whole lot to do with it. If they backed this water up and had water here, this water underneath wouldn't get away so fast.
Well, it creates the pressure to bring back up again.
Yes, that's right.
A lot of fountains have come to life that have been dead.
Why, sure.
Well, how about the duck hunting years ago?
Well, when we was young fellas, around, 10, 12 years old, we stood right on here in our backyard and shot 5-6 ducks in the morning. And if we wanted some more at night, we could do the same thing. And you could stand out here when those ducks was flying and look east or west. As far as you could see, there was just the air was full of ducks, flock after flock and big flocks. And that would continue for an hour sometimes. And they'd go south at night. I don't know where they went, down Poygan, Butamore, Winnebago, I suppose. And then in the morning early, they'd go back up toward White Lake. That's north of us, our place. And why the teal and some of the bluebills and redhead would have to raise to go over our house, and that's 2.5 stories high.
Well, now, how many ducks did you see last fall?
Well, I don't believe we see more than 30, 40 ducks altogether flying. That is, in the fall, you know, after they got big enough to fly after being hatched.
Well, the reason for that is that the flyway has been destroyed. There isn't the water. Because there isn't the water, there isn't the feed, and they've changed their flight pattern.
Listen, I don't think there would even been that many, only they created a preserve down here. We've got 140 in it. And Kinsman has got quite a bit of land in it. And Sweet Nelson's got 40 or 80 in it. And then the Waupaca Gun Club, they put in a 40. And just that little preserve made an awful difference. There was geese stayed in that preserve and lots of ducks, too.
Well, you're aware of the fact that in conjunction
but
with us,
that was out in the lake, see?
Yeah.
Made part of it right out in the part
of
the
Long Point and T-hole out.
That's right.
Well, you're aware of the fact that in conjunction with this, that we propose that White Lake and Cinco Lake be put into a preserve.
Well, that would be a good thing because, you know, they'd have a resting place then where people couldn't get at them and drive them out. And there's so much feed along this country here that they'd be flying anyway. They'd come out of the reserve just the same.
Well, Charlie, just let me butt in here for a minute. Along with water and raising his water and getting a reserve set in there, refuge, do you think, in your own mind, honestly think that landowners and farmers would be willing to lease or contribute part of that land so that we could plant corn and stuff in there for goose feed so that we could have an area similar or better than Horican Marsh?
I think that there'd be plenty of people along this river. It's low ground, but there's ground that would raise good corn, and I think that they'd be willing to let people raise corn for them geese. They like to hunt themselves, you know. They like the sport, too.
Now, on the other hand, by raising this water, you really think that it would cut out a lot of this no trespassing signs and give the average hunter and the sportsman more of a chance to get out and get game? Do you think, along with yourself and all the other landowners along this river, do you think this would better the conditions so that it would have a more of a natural hunting condition like we had years ago?
I sure do, because if they held the banks level even, say they backed the water up so that the Wolf River would be bank level full, this water would be back in the holes all around, and people could paddle around in there, you know. They wouldn't have to have signs up. They could go wherever you can paddle, you can hunt.
I see. Now, Charlie, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I've been around the last couple of days, and I've talked to many people, some guys that are really up in the sports world. This may not be the thing to say, but I'm going to tell it to you, and I want to get your answer. I've been told that some of the fellows along the Wolf River, if we put in this dam, it would be a natural and a benefit and a gain to the landowner himself. Of course, we realize that. But don't you think that by doing this, all the fellows would feel better about it, and even you yourself would feel as if the sportsman had a better chance and he'd be more welcome and you would be more free, and even though it would be a gain to you or somebody else, you've gone through these years and not much benefit. Don't you think in your own mind and in your own words, don't you think it would be better, and wouldn't you go along with this and give out 100% of your time and efforts and even feel as if everybody's welcome?
I sure would, because, you know, as these seasons got drier and they started pulling this water down out of the Wolf River and drying the marshes up, why, we had a lot of ground at one time for the purpose of trapping. We didn't give a darn for the shooting on it, you know, or somebody did shoot on it. But we had to post it, but it got so dry that they stomped the runways all down and drove the rats out, and the dogs would kill the rats and everything, chase them off from there, and we had to post the thing or we wouldn't have got enough to pay our taxes off of it.
Then if this water come back, we could promote this idea, get this water back, get this dam put in. Even though it's benefiting you, you could go back to raising rats. I mean, average hunter would be more than welcome to shoot ducks or anything else. Is that
sure,
right?
They sure wouldn't. I think that there wouldn't even be any posters up at all. There wouldn't be any reason for it, because if we had water enough, the hunters wouldn't chase the rats out then, because they couldn't walk in there and stomp the rat runways down. Of course, they could stomp a rat house, but if there was water enough, they'd stay in their boats. They wouldn't get on a rat house. But I think it would benefit everybody here.
Well, this is
all the length of the river.
This is one of the things that was bothering me, and in your words, I mean, this takes a load off of my mind. It just makes a lot easier road to travel, and I think everybody or every sportsman, every hunter would be happy to hear this. And I just want to thank you for saying that, Charlie. That's wonderful.
Well, it's all right. I don't think that there'd been an inch of ground around the Gilda Landing area would ever been posted if the water would stayed up where it belonged.
Now, getting back a little bit to wild rice, will that come back? Do you think we can get that back as duck food? Can we get the pickerel weed and stuff, or the good feed?
Well, I think, you know, the wild rice, of course, when it got to dry, it died out. But there's always a sum in certain places. Blackbirds and ducks and other birds that eat this stuff will carry that and plant it back again. Now, they tell me that wild rice don't grow every year. sometimes 2 and 3 years, it'll be laid dormant. And by golly, while you wouldn't see a spear of rice here, it'll be a nice crop of it.
Well, it so happens that in this particular area, there happens to be foods that you don't find, duck foods that you don't find very seldom in any other part of the state. You've got some right over at Cinco Lake. I remember years ago, I took Joe Muka, one of the acknowledged best underwater vegetation men in the state over there. And Joe, of course, as you know, had quite a write-up in the journal here a while back.
Yeah.
And
was he the guy that was getting these potato red potatoes
right.
for the Chinaman?
Wapata duck potatoes.
Well, right. He got acres of that stuff.
Well, I took Joe over there to Cinco Lake, and he says, Ian, you don't know what you do for me over here.
Yeah.
He said, here is food that I couldn't find no place else. It's a gold mine.
Sure.
So that's the reason why your bluebill and your mallard hit in there. I've forgotten. I couldn't conscientiously say, but I do think it was duck's meat or coontail.
Yeah, arrowroot.
One of those meats.
Arrowroot is the rat potato.
Well, no, arrowroot. It isn't a potato. It was one of the foods that roll up on the shore in the fall.
Yeah.
It was like coontail or possibly
well,
duck's meat.
Burrweed.
Burrweed.
A lot of different weeds that you know on this corn grass that has regular little ears on like corn.
No.
And that's all rat food and duck food too.
Wild rice, in my opinion, doesn't rank as high as most people think it does.
Well, the sweet flag, you know.
Sweet flag, celery.
And
they're
even,
way up there.
Even these cattails. Muskrat eat the roots of that, too.
That's right.
And lily roots.
But you know yourself that wild rice is ripe only a short period during the fall. It has to be knocked off by the wings of the ducks. It's more cover than it is food, actually.
That's right.
So the emphasis should be on the fact that, in addition to the wild rice, it would be brought back here naturally on its own and possibly even through the efforts of fish and game clubs, and a lot of money has been spent in that respect in the past. There are other natural foods that are native to this area that will come back. As I said, coontail, duck's meat, burrweed, wild celery, and so forth.
Well, listen, we know a fellow by the name of Milt Locks. He has 40-some 40s up around Rhinelander, and he made a flowage, or two flowages, put in dams, had got the right to put them in there, back that water up, and there was no feed there for rats or ducks or a thing like that. So he come down here, and he got these arrowroot or rat potatoes, they call them, and he got burrweed, and he got wild rice, he got cattails, and I don't know, different weeds that he got here, and he took them up there, and he planted them, and we was up there, and my brother and I, a couple of years afterward, and I'll be damned if there wasn't fields of wild rice and arrowroot and cattails growing everywhere up there and on his flowage. And he had quite a few muskrats come in there, too.
And acres of wild rice.
Oh, yeah, acres of it. Now, he planted that stuff. He bought it from the Indians, and he waited in the fall a certain time when the blackbirds had gone. And then he'd get mud or red clay or something, and he'd roll that rice into balls, into that red clay, and then he'd throw it in there to grow itself. That's
one,
the way he planned it.
One thing I wanted to ask was, right now, of the acreage that you own, or that you know of, taking it at high-level stage, tell me about the number of acres that would be underwater, and the number of acres that are underwater now, just to give us an idea of how this thing would materially affect the acreage up and down the river. We're going to try to get those figures from the Corps of Engineers and Wisconsin Public Service Commission. But in your own opinion, knowing being a landowner and knowing the acres that you own and would normally flood at a good high water level, how many acres are there compared to the amount of that's underwater now?
Well,
just your own property.
There'd be 1,000 acres to where there's one, where there's water on 1 acre now. And godly ought to be, don't you think about 30,000, 40,000 acres it would be wet That is so ducks and things would live. Yeah, I mean the whole length of the river. From Fremont up. There's an awful lot of it. A lot of marsh. And sloughs and all that stuff. And even if this water was held back, so we had bank level here, bank full, the water around Chiocton and up in that country would be back in them low lands where the oak grow, and that's your mallard feed, them acorns.
Right.
And wood ducks. Darn right, we got oak, we had oak on a piece we sold, and boy, there was mallards in there by the thousands when there was water there, feeding on acorns.
Well, that's been how many years?
Oh, boy, that's... Must be 20 years or more, 30 years.
Well, you see, that's back about the time that the bog went out down there.
Yeah,
Blanken.
Yeah.
Well, see, your flyway has been practically destroyed because with the construction now of the dam on the Wisconsin River, that has added to their flyway potential over there.
Sure,
the ducks will
sure.
go there to the big body of water, then cut in southeast and get into Horicon. They'll come down from Green Bay, missing us to the east, and then they'll cut southwest to Horicon down there.
Yeah.
Poygan, with the food gone, is no longer the attraction it used to be. We have the food here.
Oh, acres of it.
But we don't have the water on a feeding ground.
That's right.
It's where now it takes about 5 to 8 hunters to keep all the ducks off of Partridge Lake at Fremont. If that water were at a high level stage, you could put 200 hunters on that same area, or that body of water, and you would never probably bump into each other. You wouldn't be shooting at ducks and alarming them away from the other folks.
That's right. A lot of these ducks would be back in the marshes and sloughs, too, if there was water in them.
Plenty of place for them to drop in.
Yeah, no water in the darn things now. No place for them to set. They got to go out in the middle of the lake just about.
And Charlie, the other day we talked to you, and you made a kind of interesting statement. I thought about it a lot. You said that the water, or the river now, being at the stage it is, with the number of boats that's on there, we know that there is a lot of boat traffic now. It's going to be more. We can't... It's the trend of the times, and there's not... You said that... Boat traffic now. It's going to be more. We can't. It's a trend of the times, and there's nothing we can do about it. The only thing that we can do is give more water. And you made the statement that the number of boats going down created this wash, making the river wider, and by making it wider, it's filling with silt, and it's getting shallower. And in time to come, it's going to fill up. And I think you did say that there are places now where you have seen cows eating in the middle of the river from grass that's growing there. Now, is that right?
That's right. Especially in the Wapaka River, they can go anywhere. You can wade across and wouldn't get your knees wet anywhere. But in the Wolf River, by golly, it's getting so now that there's weeds growing way out from shore. And if they kept the bank full, you wouldn't have that wash. You wouldn't get that silt.
Oh.
No, the water's so low, this when the boats go by and the big waves go up against under these banks, wash right up and under them. I was sitting fishing, and you could hear that water go way back, 3, 4, 5, 6 feet under them trees, slushing back in there and out again. One boat threw me right up against the bank and put a pail of water in my boat and about a pail in my shoe.
Well, that's something that we can't do anything about. I mean, the river is there and the boats are there. But the idea is with that washing under that bank now, and in time to come, that's going to cut undermine, and that bank is going to cave off, putting more dirt back in the river and making it shallower. Is that right?
That's right, because if the bank was full, it couldn't wash under.
And by having more water in here, it gives freedom to the boats, to the fishermen, to the hunter. It gives more spawning grounds, more nesting grounds. The spawn gets out of the way. The water's high. The spawn will survive, will live and hatch. We're going to have fish. It'll take a few years, but we're going to have abundant game. Is that right?
Sure is, because the pike would go back and pickerel and perch and all those on the marshes and spawn. Catfish, too, get out in the sloughs. This year they couldn't even get in some of the sloughs. Wasn't water enough. Wouldn't go in there.
Well,
they have to spawn in the river, and the water being so low, these boats going and making them waves all the time, they cover the eggs up with silt and kill them.
Big thing to remember is that there's millions of dollars being spent on these superhighways coming out of Chicago of Milwaukee, making it possible for people on the south side of Chicago to get up here in 3.5, 4, 4.5 hours. Within the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to see the greatest influx of people looking for recreation areas, fishing and hunting, more than we could sit here and conceive at the present time. The thing to do is to plan for it now. Try to get this water so that when the time comes, when these roads are complete, and the people become cognizant of this area up here, that we've got room enough for them, confine the boats to the river as much as possible, and limit the horsepower of the motors that go to the spawning beds, and keep them off the spawning beds during the spawning season for a limited length of time. Let those fish spawn, and as a result, we'll have more place for these people to go and do their fishing and do their hunting, and regulate it at the same time.
Yeah,
as it is now, we're going to have a mud puddle.
They get something when they went.
In my opinion, today, the mighty wolf is the equivalent of Mud Creek.
Yeah, and 4 or 5 more years, it'll be so damn shallow they won't be able to run their fast boats here. That's what's going to happen.
It's a wanton waste of natural resources. With the amount of money that the government's spending today and wants to spend on wetlands restoration and recreation, it's one of the greatest naturals in the state of Wisconsin that there is,
One of the greatest places for mallards and wood ducks to hatch, and some pintails and widgeons too. You know, they nest here if there was water here, but sure they wouldn't do it anymore. Darn few hatch here. We used to have oceans of wood ducks and mallards, and right here, our local ducks hatched right here, but you don't see them anymore. And it's all on account of low water. That's what it is.
I have just a little comment to make. Last night I was over to Herbie Voltz's, and he showed me some pictures he took of this western trip out to the Yellowstone Park and through the Western Territory. He showed a picture of a dam that was being built on some river out there, which I can find out the name of, and it was costing millions of dollars. And nowhere around this dam could I see any water. And I asked him, what's the purpose of the dam? And Herbie says, I don't know. There was no water there, but they still had a dam built. He says, I don't know what it is. But spending money like that, I don't see why we can't, in this vicinity of ours here, build this dam and create something that's worthwhile and get some benefit out of it. I mean, not only people along the river are going to benefit, but every town, every business, everybody around, every resort, everybody around here will make money. I still think it'll be do more than even getting in a good industry in New London or any small town around here. The resort area will far overcome any benefit that any industry could come in. Do you think I'm right?
Oh, I do. I certainly do. You know, the better the fishing and sport here and hunting ducks and all that, way the more people are going to come here. Otherwise, if it keeps on the way it is, first thing they know, they won't have any fish, ducks, or anything else to come here to hunt.
That's right.
In area, we're talking of what? About 24 miles of river from New London to Fremont.
That's
about
right.
11 miles to Shiocton.
Yeah.
About 3 or 4 miles up to Black Slough.
Yeah.
So that'd be in a neighborhood roughly between 35 and 40 miles.
Yes.
Of wonderful duck nesting areas and fish spawning grounds.
The spawning ground for all these lakes below us. That's what it is. All the fish come up here to spawn.
The restoration of the duck flyway from here, the Midwest flyway from here all the way to Louisiana.
Yeah, and if they take some of this federal duck stamp money, instead of going up in Canada and spending it, would spend some of that right here and improve this thing, we'd have ducks right home, right here in the state of Wisconsin. Plenty of them.
Well, Gene, is there any further comment tonight that you'd like to make or anything you can think of?
None that I can think of unless we shut this off for a minute and let the fellows see among themselves or between themselves if there's something that they'd like to mention.